Looking up in Bamidbar, we noticed that we have the census, which exists, and the question is, why? And Bamidbar is also called Chomesh HaPikudim, which is, Chomesh is like Chomesh, a book of HaPikudim numbers. And we're told by Chazal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's first reason, or one of his first reasons, was to document the ancestry of every Yid, every one of the 600,003, I think 550, and record it. And the question is, Hashem seems to be saying to Moshe, let's check for the fact and let's document that we have no psul, no blemished people. Why? So one shot, the Gur Aryeh is, we're now a month after the Mishkan was set up. And once people are in a spot for 30 days, it's considered a type of permanence. And so after 30 days, the Shekhinah could now be considered to be permanently in the Mishkan, in B'nai Yisroel's presence. And therefore, the Shekhinah wanted, I guess, to acquiesce that everyone was pure. On this day, as we're going to learn, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the command that the Jewish people be given degolim, standards or flags, which somehow elevate them to the level of Tzvakos Hashem, the army of Hashem, which is something that they beheld at Har Sinai, of the way the angels are in formation. This is a higher level of Kedusha. The other thing we're told is, with the Degolim, we're going to have clear lines of delineation of where people are going to live as they settle in the Midbar. And then hopefully later on in Eretz Yisroel, because we were still on the march to Eretz Yisroel at this stage. Another pshat says that Shekhinah requires at least 22,000 Yidden to be in an area. And this proved that each tribe had this. That's the Kli Yakar. I don't see here why that number is so important, but that's what it says. The other thing we're told is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the census now, because the game plan at this stage of the game was 20 days later, they would enter Eretz Yisroel. And this survey would then determine who is able to serve in the army. In other words, it says, according to this pshat, only those capable of military service were included in this one census. Men who didn't have the physical ability to fight, to be in an army, somehow were not counted in this number. And then the author of the Medrash says, one particularly profound reason explains why HaKadosh Baruch Hu ordered another census 7 months after the last. It uses the metaphor of a businessman returning home after a long and exhausting day. A day full of phone calls, meetings, either taking or supervising orders and shipments. And he was going to have dinner and go to bed. But before that, he decided that he had to do something. He took his wallet out from his pocket and he did a summary of the collections of receivables that day. This was an exercise, he says, in pleasure and in satisfaction. A person invests time to count and review that which is precious to the individual. The greater the preciousness of the item, the more carefully that consideration will take. HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts Klal Yisroel, Kaviyochel, in the same way, saying, You are my skula, you are my treasured nation, you are the most precious, and every individual yid shares in that level of importance. Therefore, the Torah once again goes to tremendous length to detail the numbers of Klal Yisroel. Yeah, what happened? Oh boy, I'm on. I don't know how to. All right. Go on to the Shul website. It's on there. Go on to the Yissy Bulletin. Bye. Is everybody back or anyone back? That's a stupid thing to do. Hi, it's Gary. I'm back. Okay. We're talking about the importance of Klal Yisroel b'einei Hashem, in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's great efforts in counting them. And by recording it in the Torah, it indicates to each and every yid how important they are. They say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, when the total number of B'nai Yisroel is determined and recorded, it gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu simcha, because this is the number in the army, the human army of the Rabbonei Shel Olam, who HaKadosh Baruch Hu says are going to keep my will. The book of Bamidbar, it says, was called Chomesh HaPikudim, the book of numbers, because of this census and because of another counting which we will have in Parshas Pinchas. It is again an indication of the importance of Klal Yisroel. It says that Aaron's sons have a separate mention in the story. Aaron was told that he would assist Moshe with the census to determine and record the ancestry of all the Jews. Some people began with the following. Before Aaron HaKohen sits down and tries to work on the lineage and the appropriate lineage of the nation, let him check his own grandchildren. He allowed Eleazar, his son, to marry a granddaughter of Yisro even before Yisro became a Yid, it says. In reality, Aaron acted on a Kadosh Baruch Hu's command. The Ribbono Shel Olam told Aaron that this lady was of such tremendous spiritual magnitude that she would be the one who would give birth to Pinchas HaKohen, who we say was the one, right, who restored HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor. In order, therefore, to reinstate Aaron's honor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu now made special mention of Aaron and his sons, meaning that while the scoffers could attempt to find problems and mistakes, the Ribbono Shel Olam attests to the truth and appropriateness of the action. We're also told, Tiferes Sion, that don't think it was just our own sons who were counted, so were Moshe's, right? They were Levium, and they were included there. The other thing we see, and we've been told this oftentimes, and it applies again with the story of Rus, Shavuos time, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took certain neshamas and placed them in goyish bodies with the plan that these individuals will absorb the sparks of Kedusha, such as they are, that are outside of Klal Yisroel. They are destined to become members of Klal Yisroel, and they're destined to bring things into Klal Yisroel that we need. And as some of the great Rabbonim have said, a ger is so holy. We know oftentimes, right, that when shiduchim arise and somebody says, oh, the prospective match is a ger or is a child of gerim, people or some people recoil. And there was a famous Rav who said, a Kadosh Baruch Hu chose you to be Meshadech with them because he realized that your level, it's not degradation, it's a measure of respect by the Ribbono Shel Olam for you. After Moshe did the count with Aaron and whomever else helped for a number of days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu then set up the way Klal Yisroel would encamp and travel. The Mishkan was in the very middle of the cloud. On the four sides of the Mishkan, Merari and Kehath were north and south. Moshe, Aaron, and their children were on the east, and Gershon was on the west. Okay. Then there were five horizontal divisions of the tribes going down three levels, meaning there are like 15 places. The corners at the extremes were pasture land for the cattle. Three Shvatim were on the north, the west, the south, and the east. On the east was Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zvulun. The Mishkan was called the Machne Shechina, the camp of Shechina. The area where the four Levi families and where Aaron was were called the Machne Levia, and everything else, meaning the Levi's camp, and around everything was the camp of Bnei Yisrael. And on all the perimeters, there was the Anone HaKavod, the clouds of glory, which the Jews could see regularly, and only outside of that area could the Erev Rav camp. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the way they would camp and the way that they would march. It were told that the Machne Levia, which had Kohanim and Levium, were required to be not only honor guards, but they were also Shomrim. They were there to ensure that a non-Kohen could not enter to try to attempt to do any part of avoda, service not commanded. On the east, Moshe, Aaron, and families, east was told, and we know with the direction where the sun rises, that's where light begins. Moshe, Aaron, and their sons deserved to be placed there because they were the ones who brought spiritual light to the people, which they shared in their teaching of Torah and mitzvot. We're told that there was not an equal amount of distance between the spot where Moshe, Aaron, and his sons encamped on the east. Their distance to the Mishkan was 1,000 amos less than the other divisions of the tribes, or the other division of the Kohanim and Levium, right, to indicate, again, the special status of Moshe and Aaron. We're told that Bnei Gershon were on the west, from where snow, hail, frost, and heat comes, and somehow Bnei Gershon were given the power by the Rabboni Shel Olam to influence these natural forces. The area to the south was where the children of Kehas were. They were the ones who carried the Aron when they marched. It says, them being in the south says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Klal Yisrael rain in proportion to the diligence with Torah. Because they carried the Torah physically, they would also carry it spiritually, teaching. And Chazal tell us that's why we know we say in V'hoya im Shemoya Tishmu, right? It says if you do it V'nasati Esev, right? You'll have grass and you'll get the rains. It says that this is in as a reward for such compliance with Torah and Mitzvot. It says B'nai Merari in the north represents a direction from which, unfortunately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends the punishments to the world. The wooden boards of the Mishkan, which this family had the responsibility to carry, were supposed to be a reminder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu at times is required to use, quote, the wooden rod to discipline his people. Yehuda, being in the east, was Yehuda ish Malchus, kingdom. And a Melech Yisroel is considered to be the oily Yisroel, the one who brings spiritual light to the people. Yisachar is there too, because we know Yisachar was the Shevet of the Talmidei Chachamim. Yisachar made that deal with Zvulun, where Yisachar would devote all its time to learning, and Zvulun would take the responsibility to support his brother, and they would each share wealth materially and the spiritual rewards as well. Zvulun was the person or the tribe which the following is said: a tzaddik is fortunate, and so is his neighbor. It says anyone who camped in the east, people from Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, became the leading scholars among Klal Yisroel. It says Yehuda distinguished itself in Torah and Mitzvot. Yisachar produced Talmidei Chachamim, who not only knew the Torah, but who were experts in the mathematical calculations. If you ever look at the calculation of how long a month is, and with, you know, we always say how many chalakim, etc., and you look at the fraction, I can't remember what it is, but it's so many hours, and it's got like 9 decimal points out there. We're told that the scientific world didn't come up to that number that Chazal knew, and that Yisachar's members knew until thousands of years later. And Zvulun as well. while it was the one who was the one who gave money and supported Torah scholars, the zechus it received from the Rabboni Shel Olam was that it too had members who were tremendous to Milde Chachamim. When you support Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you spiritual rewards as well. Then we have the famous story, right? Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shcheinai. Right? It says, woe to the Rasha, and his neighbors have it pretty lousy also. Reuven, Shimon, and Gad were next to Kehas. Reuven, unfortunately, had Dasan, Aviram, Ein ben Peles, the leaders in the revolt in Moav later on. And Korach, the instigator, was parked right by them. He was from Kehas. The Medrash is giving us a warning. Your neighbors and friends will influence you. You may not even realize it, but being in inappropriate company weakens your spiritual resolve. The best company to keep is the company of scholars and righteous human beings. Okay. The rabbi is here. We're going to end.